Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Adulting with Ebony. Today I am joined by Gemma Wendt, who is a business mentor and digital strategist working with one-woman bands to global brands, helping them to get the results that they crave online. For 16 years, she's been making sense of the digital world by creating simple, smart strategies that get results. She's helped businesses achieve great things and smash their goals through various frameworks, which are based on three core principles: mindset, strategy, and action. Welcome, Gemma.
Oh, thank you for having me. Clearly, I need to write a bio that doesn't trip people up as well.
Oh, no, you know what, though? It rhymes and it's beautiful. It's one of those, like, on-the-spot moments when you're like, say this properly, and then trip over your own words. So it's me, not you, I promise.
Oh, bless your heart.
I love chatting with you about all things business and life, and I'd love to know what adulting or being an adult means to you.
I love that question. I really love that question. For me, the first things that cropped into my head, and there's a few things, I'm going to try and articulate them in the best way that I can. The first thing for me is to not completely lose sight of being a child, because I think we can be so freaking serious, and that we all still have that inner child and that desire for fun and that inquisitiveness, and I don't think we should lose that when we're adulting, and I think that makes you an even better adult when you don't lose that. So that's the first thing that came to my mind. The other two things for me, which are really, really important. The first one is integrity and just living your life with integrity. And the second one, which kind of links in with that, is compassion. And both of those things are really important to me. And I think that we would all be much better people and much better adults if we kind of lived our lives, our adulting lives, with integrity and compassion as much as we can.
I really agree with all of those things, and I think that you did a brilliant job of articulating them.
Thank you, Dan.
I really wonder what it is that stops us from living with integrity and compassion. Mm. Any ideas? If it was that easy, we'd all just do it, right?
No, totally, totally. And you know, here I'm holding my hands up here. I don't always, you know, I make mistakes, and I think that. Living a life outside of integrity, I think it's our the shadows of ourselves and our dark sides, and because we all have them, that make us act in certain ways that are out of integrity with ourselves. And I don't say this with any blame or any kind of nasty feelings around that, because I think we all have the potential to act that way, and we all have that dark side that kind of makes us make a snap decision or do something that is out of integrity, and I think that even just being aware of that and being aware when that happens and being able to pick yourself up and thinking, okay, maybe I'll do it better next time, and learning from it, I think even that helps with that.
Well, just having that awareness brings compassion in, right? And compassion isn't just for the other person, it's also for yourself.
Yeah.
For me, really not living in integrity comes from a place of fear. And fear comes from communicating from our wounds rather than our wholeness, right?
Yeah.
And actually the journey to adulting or to being an adult or to being in this place of personal empowerment and self-responsibility is around being able to communicate from a place of security or compassion for ourselves, like all those things we've talked about, rather than communicating from a place of defensiveness.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's so easy to go to that defensive place, and we all have it. And it is, it's just that awareness to catch yourself when you're doing it, or ideally before you do it, to try and kind of stop it in its tracks. It's so hard though. It's so hard.
I noticed something really interesting the other day, right? So mm-hmm. we talk a lot around boundaries on this podcast and as coaches, right? And it's kind of this new, I don't know if it's a new word, but it definitely like is a thing that people are starting to talk about more and more. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this thing. I used to be an over-promiser. So yes. I'm someone who always wants to say yes. And so yes. for a long time growing up, my default was yes. And then I would have to backtrack and apologize and or overkill, like, you know, have no boundaries, to work too much and burn myself out. Like there was a line somewhere that was being crossed. And then I discovered boundaries and had to find a way of having those difficult conversations and developing personal policies, if you like where my boundaries were. And I realized the other day that my default is now no. And then I come back and go, well, I could if, and I still haven't mastered the art of saying, I'm not sure yet. Let me think about it and I'll come back to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally. Boundaries are such a tough one. I've got pretty good boundaries. And I think I've had them for years. It's not something I've had to work on, thankfully, because I've got so many other things to work on. But I'm really good with it, but I still slip up sometimes. And I'm a terrible overcommitter. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I can't say no to people. It's that I think I'm freaking Wonder Woman. I can do everything. So I just go, yeah, I can do all of the things. And it's brilliant. And that for me is my own. It's not a boundary around anyone else. It's my own boundary of no, honey, like you can't do that.
That's what it was for me as well. Like that's what I mean. I ended up in a place of burnout. You said something really interesting there, and I want to unpick that. You said I'm really good at boundaries. How do you know that you're really good at boundaries? If someone's listening to this and they want to know if they're bad, how do you know if you're good at boundaries?
I'm really, really, I find it very, very easy to spot where I need to say no or step in or deal with something. In a certain way, like I can spot it a mile off. So if someone, and I find it very easy to do. So if someone approaches me with something and I'm feeling a little bit uneasy, I can say no straight away and feel very comfortable with that. And I can say it in a loving way, but I can say no very, very easily to things.
So if you put that in a client context, how do you... So I was literally having this conversation with a client earlier who has now just started mentoring. She wasn't before. And she said to me, I really like how you deal with communicating with us. She said, I always felt very held by the contracts that you have. They explain when it's okay to, when and how it's to communicate with me. But she still is someone who texts me from time to time, and all my VIP clients are allowed to do that. I say allowed in inverted commas because, you know, I'm not giving anyone permission. But but sometimes I text back, and sometimes I don't. So sometimes she'll get a 10 p.m. reply, and sometimes she wouldn't. And my coach or mentor would be horrified if she knew I was replying at 10 p.m. at night. But I feel really comfortable and content in my own boundaries around when it's okay for me to do that. And when it's okay for me not to.
I get that. Yeah, it's a really interesting one how it plays out. I'm exactly the same as you. So I sort of have an onboarding pack that explains how to communicate with me and when I'm available. And I'm very strict with that. And I tend to not, and I don't think I'm really thinking about if it has happened, but I tend to not allow anything to happen outside of that. Because I think for me, what that does is it sets expectations and I don't want them to think that they can do that. I also think for us, it teaches, not only does it allow us to put our boundaries down and work within that to make us far more effective and better leaders and mentors, but also it teaches the people we work with how important boundaries are and then how to place them. So I think it's really important. And so many times I do get tempted to kind of step outside of it, but I think actually no, because that's not good leadership and I'm not showing a good practice there.
Yeah, so the 10 p.m. thing for me, and I'll be honest, because I travel so much and the time zone thing changes so frequently, being able to stick to stuff is difficult because sometimes they might be texting me within their time zone, which is normally my time zone, but I'm 8 hours behind and I know it's confusing. And so there, it really just comes from an attitude and a place of love. Like, you know what, I've got capacity to answer this right now, or I don't have capacity to answer this right now. And they wouldn't be thinking. Like, as soon as it feels, as soon as there's any sense of resentment within me, it's a no. Like,
You know, don't you? You feel it.
Yeah, so I just don't. Yeah. And I don't feel like I choose not to feel guilt about it. I just don't reply.
Yeah.
And and that's that simple, you know. And I think what you said is really important. Like, we're modeling this. We're modeling behavior that other people can also, because it's not about what you say. It's about what you do.
Yeah, it's all actions. It's all actions. And I, you know, I've been doing this, like, certainly in this business. I've been running this for 5 years and I've made mistakes along the way. And I'm a big fan of mistakes. I don't think negatively about mistakes. I think that's how we learn. The best way to learn is through from mistakes and through our failures. So I think they're a positive thing. And I've made mistakes through running this business where I've realized that that stuff is so important and I need to model it for them and for myself. For me to be able to operate in the best kind of way that I can. But I'm always reviewing them, actually. They're kind of never the same. And my boundaries are never kind of stationary boundaries. I'm always coming up with something new or something else I need to do to kind of create a new boundary that allows me to be the best person I can be and work in the best way that I can. So it's kind of a moving feast for me, boundaries.
Moving beast. I love that. Yeah, it does, because it's at least for me, it's so energetic. It's not as simple as a set of terms and conditions. It's not as simple
it's not. Yeah. And I think you have to be led by how it feels, because sometimes you don't know that you need a boundary around something until you get that feeling, until you get that thing that makes you go, oh no, that's not feeling good. I need to put something up around this to protect myself or protect whatever it is you're protecting.
So if you haven't established a boundary in a particular area before and then you get that feeling, what do you do? So if somebody is not as good at, like, so if someone listening to this is like, I am terrible at boundaries because and the one I hear most often, and maybe you hear differently, but the because I get most often is I don't want to have an uncomfortable conversation.
Would you say that's true for you? Absolutely. I see this all the time, and I think the best way of dealing with it is when you get, like I just said, that feeling, like, you know, this doesn't feel right, and you need some boundary, like, whatever it is, you need a boundary around it, but you're feeling horrible. I would always suggest to go into the feeling and really unpack what that means and what's at the heart of that, and whether that is a fear of conflict or whatever else is involved there, dealing with that thing first and understanding that, and then going out and setting your boundary. And just, you know, if it's with a client, you need to communicate. I mean, I find clients are amazing. Like, you kind of worry, people worry about having this conversation and, oh my God, they're going to hate me and think worse of me. Actually, every conversation I've had to have with a client where I have to reestablish a new boundary because things aren't quite working out, they've been totally on board with it. And like, yeah, totally get that. Brilliant way to lead. I think I'm going to learn from that myself and do some of it myself in my own business. And I think that's kind of part of it. So I would suggest to, and I've done this a lot of times, so anyone listening that does have that and that kind of fear of conflict or having that uncomfortable conversation, don't fear it. Like tackle it head on, because it's never, ever, ever as bad as you think it's going to be. Like, the stories we make up in our heads are so much worse than reality.
Yeah, I always say to my clients that if someone is interested in having a conflictuous conversation with you, just by the very default, they want to have a relationship with you. They weren't interested in having a relationship, they would walk away. Similarly, if you weren't interested in deepening your connection with them, you would walk away. So there's already a desire to connect deeper. And the conflict here is really just the fear of the unknown in how this is going to play out. And if you can come from a place of the, you know, these are the facts. This is how it's making me feeling. This is what I'd like to do instead. And be open in that, then you're going to end up with a much deeper connection at the end of it than you had to start with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those conversations are brilliant. Like, because that is when you go deep and you go raw and you go vulnerable. And those are amazing, because that's when you get that lovely connection.
Oh, I love that we've had this conversation. I feel like 9 out of 10 of these podcasts are about boundaries, because people just really struggle. And hearing us talk about it in a different way, from a different nuance with a different person, is so, so helpful. So thank you so much for having this conversation with us.
If you're welcome.
People want to find out more about you and the work that you do with businesses, where is the best place for them to go find you?
Go to my website, gemmawent.co.uk, and also I have a fantastic free Facebook group. So if anyone's on Facebook, just search for Simply Smart Business and join the group, because we have
it's a fantastic group. I'm particularly loving your Friday lives at the moment, and people jumping
in. I know, I love them. So much fun.
Yeah, it really is. Gemma, will you end with a little confession with me?
Yes.
It's an I'm an adult but. So mine today is, I am an adult, but I feel like my life would be 100% better if I was allowed naps in the day as if I were a toddler.
Oh, I would love that. I want that one. I love that. That is awesome. Yeah. I so agree with you. Okay. So I am an adult, but nothing gives me more joy than jumping around like an absolute loon in the kitchen with my 4-year-old son.
Oh, we have a lot to learn from the little ones, eh?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you so, so much for joining me, Gemma.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing, so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.